Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, is author of our Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life.
Ladies and gentlemen, the victors of the 74th Hunger Games, Katniss Everdeen and Peter Mallark.
Hamish, please, please just help me get through this trip.
This trip doesn't end when you get back home.
Chins up, smiles on.
There she is, Katniss Everdeen, the girl on fire!
People are looking at you, Katniss. You've given them an opportunity. They just have to be brave enough to take it.
Her entire species must be eradicated.
Her species, sir?
The other victors. Because of her, they all pose a threat. Because of her, they all think they're invincible.
Just a little bit of the trailer for the movie The Hunger Games: Catching Fire, the second of these movies. And I understand they're already filming the third and the fourth and I think even a fifth. I'm not sure. I haven't followed the books closely enough, but they are certainly catching the imagination of moviegoers everywhere. Some people see in these films a commentary on American life today and the entertainment culture under which we live. Is there more to that than just social commentary in the latest film, Hunger Games: Catching Fire? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next hour. We're going to review the movie Hunger Games with Pastor Ted Giese for the first few minutes of this hour. And then we're going to be doing Christ in the Old Testament today, Isaiah chapter 2, the first few verses, the Mountain of the Lord. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. Join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's a regular contributor to the Canadian Lutheran magazine. Ted, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
You say this latest installment in the Hunger Games films is a study in hope. What do you mean by that?
Well, when you look at the trailer, you wouldn't think that that's what it's necessarily about, because it is this kind of post-apocalyptic, dystopic future where a remnant of humanity is left and largely put down upon by a small group of very rich, powerful people. But in that first movie, the one that came before this, it was really grim. There wasn't a lot of hope. At the very end, you started to get a glimmer of hope. This movie is about a growing sense of hope, and that is focused on the central character of Katniss Everdeen, played by Jennifer Lawrence.
Take us into the world of the Hunger Games in a general sense, kind of reviewing how we got to this point in the storyline. But what's the world? You said dystopic. What is the world of the Hunger Games?
It's a kind of broken future where you have a small, all of the countries that you know of now are gone, and you have this 13 different districts and a capital district in the middle, that and that's all of what you see in the book and in the film. You only hear about the 13th district because it was destroyed at some future, at previous point in the storyline, and it's actually every year after the destruction of the 13th district, which is where an uprising came from. After the capital destroyed that district, every year after that, they have this thing called the Hunger Games, where each district has to give two of its people, young people, a boy and a girl, into this kind of like, sort of like an Olympics kind of a thing, only maybe more like gladiator fighting, and because everyone in it dies until there's just one left who wins the Hunger Games. So every year they give these tributes of these people in, and it's a way to subjugate those places, remember that defeat of the uprising, and keep all of those districts under the thumb of the central district. And then that central district, they just kind of clobber everybody and pull in all of the resources. So they live these amazing lives full of riches and resources, and everyone else starves. Hence the Hunger Games, because the what people get in return is a chance not to be hungry anymore. The victor does.
So how does the story advance in this one, kind of leading to that emerging theme of hope that you were talking about?
Well, when somebody wins the Hunger Games in this story, they're kind of out of the system. Their name can't be pulled again to go back into this. They can't be a tribute a second time. But someone finds a little wrinkle in the game, they call it, and because it's the 75th anniversary, they get to change the rules a bit. So then each of these districts have to provide someone from the victors from the previous years to be in this installment of the games. So that kind of drags your central characters from the previous movie into this one as well, to again play in that game. And it kind of works on the idea that at the end of the last movie, there was a bit of a ruse that was pulled to win the game between one of the contestants, the central character, Katniss Everdeen, and PETA, another person from her district. And it made it look like they were in love and they were going to get married, and then they have to kind of carry on that ruse. And that's what kind of gets the wheels rolling in this current installment.
Some people who are familiar with the books and the film might ask kind of the obvious Christian worldview question, which is Katniss Everdeen in the world of this story, is she in some sense a Christ figure? You say the answer to that question is a little complicated, a no and a yes. In what sense no, in what sense yes?
In the sense that she's not like Christ, there's a couple of obvious things. She, you know, she makes imperfect decisions, and she also physically kills people, and that's not something that you find Jesus doing in Scripture. On the side where she is a little bit more like Jesus, it's the fact that her character inspires people towards self-sacrifice, because she herself displays that and places the needs of others before her own personal needs, and then is also willing to die so other people can live. So that element, and you see that over and over again in lots of films, in that way she embodies Christ in this particular thing. And it really, like, usually I wouldn't say that that's the case. Oftentimes it's more like a judge from the Old Testament, or maybe a Christian martyr or something of that nature. But I think that the general underpinnings of the whole thing as it's developing is this sense of hope in a future connected to this individual in a way that you don't often get all the time. In a lot of movies, you'll have like the immediate hope of getting out of a jam, but not like this kind of almost eschatological hope, or this kind of future hope of being redeemed, saved by this individual.
And there is a, in that theme of hope, there is also this notion of kind of staying focused on what they're really fighting. I mean, in the midst of these gladiatorial games, trying to see the bigger picture of what they're really fighting for. What is that?
Yeah, they're in the game itself, they're pitted against each other, and they have to kill each other to win the game. So that pulls their eye off of who the actual enemy is. And really, in this storyline, the actual enemy is this President Snow from the Capital District. And he's the one that actually, played by Donald Sutherland, he's the one that's the actual evil one that embodies all the evil aspects that you would find wrapped up in sin, death, the devil, the world, and even our own sinful nature, kind of all embodied in this person. And they have to remind themselves over and over again that that's the enemy and not each other. And I think as Christians, often in life, we can get caught up in squabbles with each other and sinning amongst each other and forget who the actual enemy is that's trying to get us. So instead of keeping our eyes on Christ, we get ourselves distracted. And distraction is one of the powers of the enemy against us. And with your eyes on Christ, you don't have that. So there is a little bit of that also going on in a big way in this film.
Is the film, in some sense, some social commentary on the state of kind of our entertainment infatuation today?
There definitely is that end of it in it. The writer of the books has been involved in other, like, kids programming and stuff like that. But there does seem to be this, particularly in the movies, it's almost like this kind of manic entertainment media kind of stuff that's just, it's there specifically to distract people and placate them from the terrors of their life. Or at least to just keep their eyes off of what's going on. It's almost like some kind of shell game, right? And the people who are involved in it are largely insincere individuals, the way that they're portrayed in the movie. And it takes quite a while for their shells to break to get into the reality of what's going on. And you start to see that just starting to happen in this film. But, yeah, I mean, I think that in our daily life, you know, you have a lot of TMZ, a lot of that kind of stuff going on, People Magazine, things of that nature, and that stuff can draw people's eyes off of the real pain and suffering that's going on around them in the world, typhoons and hurricanes and tornadoes and cancer and death and loss and other things that occur.
As an adaptation of a book to film, how do you think this one does, especially vis-a-vis the previous one, the first Hunger Games?
Now, I didn't personally read these books, but talking to some people who also went to the movie with me the other night, they thought this was quite good. I mean, it can't have everything in it. Not everybody can do like what Peter Jackson is doing with The Hobbit or with The Lord of the Rings, so some things aren't in there. But what is left up on the screen is much more faithful than other adaptations. For instance, more faithful than the adaptation of the Orson Scott Card book that was turned into that movie we just reviewed just recently, Ender's Game. This is much more faithful an adaptation, it looks, than that was.
With a minute or so here, concerns, obviously, the violence is a theme that runs through this, but I understand that the violence is attenuated to a certain degree given the fact that a lot of the audience here is going to be minor children. What are your pastoral concerns about this film?
Yeah, I felt that the violence in the first film was grimmer and more harsh. But what they do in this movie is they kind of hide a lot of it, like, you know, characters killed underwater so you don't really see anything, or there's like moments where they just kind of don't show you what's going on. That cuts down on the blood that you might see, but what it doesn't do is make it any better. Oftentimes that actually can make it worse. There's one scene where somebody martyrs himself for this growing revolutionary cause, and they just shoot it so that he's getting shot as a door is closing, and your imagination probably is going to make that worse than if they'd shown it. So I would just be cautious that these are more adult themes in it, even though it has a PG, PG-13 rating.
Pastor Ted Giese is pastor at Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's a regular contributor to the Canadian Lutheran Magazine. I do understand that some congratulations are in order. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders won something called the Grey Cup. What is that, Pastor Giese?
Yes, that is the Canadian Football League's main trophy. It was hosted here in Regina, Saskatchewan. It was fantastic. I was fortunate to be one of the 40,000 some people in the actual arena when they won it, and it was a really exciting and fun time, and just a small distraction from my regular life, but we had a great time, and everyone here is very excited, and not just in Saskatchewan, but across Canada. There's fans all over the place of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. A really great team this year.
Folks, you can read Pastor Giese's review of Hunger Games Catching Fire at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Next time, we'll be talking to Pastor Ted Giese about The Hobbit. Ted, thank you for being our guest.
You're welcome. Thanks.
When we come back, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us. We'll be in Isaiah chapter 2, Christ in the Old Testament, the Mountain of the Lord.
I have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movie.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.